We need the right strategy, but we need to learn how to nurture our energy. So in the morning when I meditate, I check in. I'll say, like, little Andrew, like, how are you feeling today? And he might be like, he might be like, fuck yeah, let's go. I'm ready to rock. I'm like, okay, cool. Or he might be like, I'm anxious, worried about this. I'm still sad that my friend died or whatever happened. And I just meet it with, okay, like, I love you anyways. What else? He's like, when I'm just so tired of this, because being an entrepreneur is not easy. I went through it down here, quarantine, broken neck, all this kind of stuff. And some days I'd sit in that meditation, I'd be in tears. And it was just like, how do I meet whatever comes up with compassion? Whether it's anger, it's ugliness, a shadow. It's just like, okay, you're welcome here too. So I think that's a really big part of nurturing the vibration, because if we're not accepting parts of ourselves, like, authenticity is the highest vibration. So, like, setting the goals and doing the steps is like the seeds, but also what nurtures or what waters the seeds of intention? It's vibration. Because if you have a negative vibration and you're messaging all these people, you're not going to get the same result. I've done that before. And then there's been sometimes I come out of ayahuasca and I've processed all the junk in my system out and I'm feeling just so present. And then that week is like a $10,000. I'm like, I didn't even do any. How does that work?
Fellow entrepreneurs and goal getters to Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within, with myself, your host, Kelly Beveridge, and my dear friend, Andrew Topping. I'm so stoked to have him today. Andrew and I have been friends for, actually, I'm not even sure, probably around 15 years, I would say, which is crazy. Right. Andrew is, he has his own business called The Modern Warrior. I'm super excited to have him on the call today. He's all about being a high performance coach for high achievers, for people in the space of health and wellness. He helps physical and mental transformation with people. He's helped hundreds of people. He's wrote a nutrition book. He's been living in Colombia for about the last 4.5-5 years, where he's really been diving deep into plant medicine. There's just so much that we can talk to him about. Yet what I love is my personal relationship with Andrew and seeing his own transformation from when I met him until now. And just constantly taking himself on, following his passion, following his dreams, taking his life and himself to the next level so he can be of service to other people. And I'm just so proud of him. I'm so proud of you, Andrew, and just really grateful that you've chosen to be on the call with me today. So welcome.
Thank you. Absolutely.
Awesome. So Andrew actually is from, you're from Calgary, right?
No, born in Manitoba, raised in Toronto. Moved to Alberta at 12 and then been there pretty much ever since.
Okay. So that's okay. So there you go. That's the background of where you originated from. You're actually living in Colombia. You're in Colombia as we speak, which is why this is, I'm excited because I love talking to people who have a global mindset too. Yet on today's podcast, everybody who's listening, we're really going to have the context of talking about how to live your high performance life, a peak optimal performance when it comes to your health, your mental health and your business. And so Andrew, before we get into the health and wellness and business side of that, maybe you can just share a little bit of your story. How did you get into being, for lack of better words, a health coach and trainer, and then ultimately living in Colombia with this lifestyle that you've created for yourself?
Okay.
I know. Can you tell us your one story in about 3 or 4 minutes before we the episode?
Yeah, I'll try to boil it down as much as possible. I grew up a very hyperactive kid, diagnosed ADHD as a child. So I was always in sports, did well in gym, drama, and pretty much nothing else. Hence, I think why I do what I do now, because it's like gym and video. So yeah, didn't do well in school. Exercise was my thing. Played hockey till I was about 16, got kicked out for fighting a lot. And then I went from that, because I couldn't play the next year, into lifting weights. And I had been lifting weights since I was 12. So around 16, I started getting more serious about bodybuilding. And before that, it was like hockey, motocross, snowboarding, baseball, football. Like, I played everything, wrestling, karate. And then bodybuilding pretty much just started to consume my life. And around the same time, I had some trauma in school. My best friend was murdered when I was 15. So after that, it was really hard for me to regain my footing again in school. Like, every year I went back, I was just explosive, a lot of fighting. So bodybuilding and training became my thing. And I dropped out of school, started working full time when I was like 16. And I was in a lot of trouble from about 16 to 23. pretty, I don't know how deep or how crazy you guys like to share out the podcast, but
it's very like to share. Yeah. So we're open books here.
Okay. Yeah. Yes. I was living a gangster life, like to sum it up, partying, drugs, alcohol, girls, fighting, violence, all sorts of that stuff. And I think it came from losing my friend, and he got murdered in front of me, died in my arms. And I didn't know how to cope with that. Right. So I didn't know how to process emotions. I was 15 years old. So I just did a little bit of therapy, went back to school, tried to make it work, didn't really work, dropped out or got kicked out every year. And I was doing bodybuilding, working, hustling, doing whatever. And then at 18, I got my first personal training certificate and started doing like entry for people in the gym, like how to use the machines basically. So I was living this life over here. And then I was like trying to do better here and started doing like personal training. Did that for a few years, then got to a point where things were catching up with me. Like when I was like 17, like I said, life was very dangerous. So I felt I was really skinny and I felt like I needed to protect myself. I visited my friend in Vancouver and he was just huge all of a sudden. And I met and I knew him since I was a kid. And then I was like, dude, how did you get so huge? And he's like, oh, I take steroids. And then I was like, oh, give me some. Like I want to get huge too. So I started like, didn't care, right? I just started using all these steroids and stuff when I was like 17 till about 23. And then at that point, things got really crazy. Like my best friend got stabbed. My ex-girlfriend got shot. I had heart failure. I had to get defibrillated at the hospital. My father died. I was 22 and I got arrested for carrying narcotics and I got off of it. And at that point, I was like, I need to do something different because I'm either going to die or be in jail. Like some of my friends were. And that's when I met you actually at PSI. Wow. So that's when I was like, I had friends doing class and it had just come to Calgary. So I was like, hey, I'm going to go do this class. Like some of my successful friends were doing it. So I went to the class and it just opened my eyes. It was such a game changer. Like when I went in there, I was just hardened. I was like from the street. And then I saw all the guys like hugging each other. And I was like, oh, judging them. And I was like, oh, they must be here or something. You know what I mean? I was just, my mindset was so ego to the max, right? And then I did the class and it opened my eyes. And before I knew it, I was the guy on stage crying and everyone was just like, and I was like, and everything just hit me. Like I was always the most conscious one out of our crew, even though they were like bad guys. So I had that in me. I just needed to be exposed to the mechanism to unleash that. So when I went to PSI, I was like, boom. And then of course I went to the advanced class, I-7, then I went to med leadership and then I stopped as probably, I don't know, for years I was staffing and volunteering because I knew that if I didn't submerge myself in that work, I would go back to that old life and that to death or jail. So I just needed fully the PSI. Then I did my yoga certification. I launched my own business. You were my coach when I launched it. Thank you very much. And so I went from being helping people in the gym to about 22, getting a job in Gold's Gym, getting really busy. I was one of the busiest trainers there. And I was like, wait a minute. In the half of my money and I'm working 10 hours a day. So then when I started doing PSI and you were my coach, I set that goal. You know what? I'm going to leave everything at the gym behind and I'm going to start my own thing. And that's when I started Elite Fitness, the first business. And then we scaled that from zero to over 10,000 a month in 90 days. And that's when you were coaching. Right. I think third month was like 14,000. So I was like, friggin' wicked, right? And of course, ups and downs. And then so that from running that business and then having a nutrition business, integrating anti-aging and supplements, doing my yoga training, working with naturopaths and different things. And then that business ran for quite a while. And then it went from 101 clientele, let's say making $10,000 a month to being like, hey, again, always starting with intention. I want to make more money, but I want to have some more time freedom. So then I was like, okay, how can I do this different? Then I went to semi-private training, 5 hours a day, making the same money. Then I had more freedom. Then I went to Nicaragua. I saw people working on their computers. I just took 3 months off, came back broke. I saw people working on their computers. I'm like, how do I do that? And then I manifested in a coach who was like, dude, it looks like you're killing it online. I'm like, I'm not online. He's like, what? And then he was like, yeah, give me $5,000 US and in 8 weeks, I'll show you how to do it. It was kind of like shit. At the time, I didn't have $5,000, but I'm like, we asked those questions. Do I believe this guy? Do I trust him? And is it something I want to do? And within 2 weeks, I had the money. Signed up. And then 6 months later was my first $20,000 a month.
Wow. Oh my gosh. And I know we're going to continue on with this story yet. Andrew, first of all, thanks for just being so honest and sharing your story. And I know your story and it's been a while since we chatted and just once again, the transformation you've gone through, right? In that benchmark time of your life where you could have went in one direction or the other, right? And you chose, thankfully, you attracted personal development and people into your life that allowed you to see how amazing you were and how you could take your gifts and live a positive lifestyle for yourself and for other people. So grateful for that. I think a lot of times, and I've been doing a lot of podcasts and talking to a lot of people lately, and one of the common themes is that a lot of people's, for lack of better words, trauma or what they've been going through their life actually turns into their blessing because they learn how to channel it into a positive direction.
Yes, the fork, when you set the fork in the road, and this is something that is coming up for me so much lately, it's grace. I literally just thought about that the other day. There's been so many times where things could have went one way and they went the other, and it's out of my hands. That's just grace. Whenever you believe it, whether it's God's source, whatever it is, it's grace. So even with this last few years of being down here, what I'm coming out of, it's grace. So like I always say, look for the grace, because in our nature and in our mentality, especially in North America, we have it so good that this entitlement mentality is really prevalent. And then when things don't go the way that we think they should go, we get upset. But it's like, you ain't that smart. Don't know what's really best for you. Like the Buddhists say, have no preferences. So in forks in the road, those decisions, those things, even just when things are happening, I don't let my ego get inflated. I'm just like, this is grace. Of course I'm putting in the work, but it's grace.
Yeah, I love that. Maybe extend on that a little bit. As you're speaking about that, I'm thinking about you and your philosophies when it comes to how you approach your business and your health. And I know as somebody who has clients, you're not just there to help them transform their body. You really work with the person,
yeah,
right? And what they need for their mental health, their mindset, and their physical health. So can you chat a little bit about like your philosophies personally and how you take that approach in your business and your health?
Yeah, I'll do my best. Yeah. Okay. So when I was a personal trainer for 14 years and yoga instructor, clients would come to me and they'd be like, I want these results. And the tool that I had in my toolbox was personal training. And of course, for me to get to that place that I was at wasn't just from exercise, because the mindset is what, it's the foundation of everything. If you have the wrong mindset, you won't go to the gym, or you won't believe that you can change your body, or you'll justify eating the wrong food, or you won't stay focused and disciplined on getting the right food in. Like the mindset is the foundation to everything. That's why even on my social media, I speak so much more to mindset than I do about like, if you want this part of your shoulder to pop, you got to do the exercise.
Yeah.
The whole thing in itself, but the mindset is everything. So when we do a transformation, like when I was in the gym, for instance, okay, someone comes, they're like, all right, I'm super committed. I'm going to train with you 5 days a week and it's $1,800 a month, and they're training and then their motor blows up on their car and then they can't train anymore because they need to train for the motor. So it's like they've grabbed onto that one thing. But then when that thing's not there anymore, they just like crumble because they have no foundation. It's like the waves on the surface versus building the undercurrent. So that's something I saw for years and years and years. But at the time, I was aware of it, but I didn't have a solution because that was what I did. Like I'm a trainer. But then after years of doing this, like 14 years there, and then now almost 6 years online, like I'm almost 20 years professionally into the game, you start to see trends. And you start to understand fundamental ideas differently. So I'm always working within myself, trying to boil things down to be more simple because there's so much information out there. Oh, I should do affirmations. I should focus on this minute. Like, no. Remove. And just master the fundamentals. So that would happen with training a lot. People would train, get really good results. But then when I wasn't there, they didn't become the person. They did the thing. They were doing the thing. And with accountability, and they paid money, so they followed their money, but they did become the person. In this program, we work on the identity shift. So when a client would come in, I'd be like, how are you feeling like for your workout? I'm a little sore here. I'd work on their shoulder. Better. Yep. Okay. Let's train. Here, how are you doing with your food? And it'd be a casual conversation within that hour. But I didn't really have an idea what they were doing. Like, there's 23 other hours in the day. What's your sleep quality like? How are you starting your morning? What's your stress levels like? What days are you food prepping? What are you eating? Are you eating the correct amount of food, the right types of food for you? That's 80% of it. So with this program, I get to focus on that 80%. And then the training, people can actually do more training because it's not like to do one-on-one, it's very expensive. Now it's probably more like $2,000 a month to to do one-on-one training. So I can program for them, whether they need yoga, training, extra stretching or mobility, all of that. Plus we get to work on the individual, because once you set up the system, like writing a definite main purpose thing, you write it out and you're all excited. Now you need to grow into it. And when you start changing habits, going after those things, like you squeeze the orange and orange juice comes out. So I'm there to support my clients with what's coming out while they're being squeezed, as they're changing and transforming into that person who lives that DMP. Because change and transformation is not easy and it's not comfortable. So the information's out. People go get a workout plan online and find a nutrition plan that's good enough. That's not what it is.
Yeah. No, I love your message that you're sharing right now. And it's interesting because you've been personally training for so long. I've been coaching for so long. And I can tell you we're coming to the same conclusion that it's the identity that is lacking the shift within people. So even myself, as I coach people to become successful in their business, they have a vision and image of what that looks like, yet the vision and image of themselves doesn't match it. And so it's doing the work within ourselves to become that idea, to become that image, to become that identity, right? So that our behaviors change, our habits change, and we start to actually exemplify the lifestyle that we wish to live. And so I love that. And I think that's a gift you have, Andrew. And it's really a differentiator for you as a coach in personal training, that you're actually helping people with that part of themselves. What else would you say? So I know we chat, you and I chat from time to time, and you were talking about, if we're speaking about high performance, it does stem from taking care of ourselves. And you said that for you, it's about making sure your axe is as sharp as possible.
Yeah.
Can you speak to that?
Yeah, I love that. Thanks for bringing that up. Yeah. So again, I like these little simple ideas, because there's a couple of things. If you are a logger, well, the more logs you cut down, the more money you make, the better life you live. And then there's some people that don't really care about cutting down the logs. They just trim the leaves later and they live that kind of life, because the log cutting is hard work. So let's say you join a business or a coach or whatever, and you go over and you're like, okay, I'm going to start cutting some logs, and you lack the technique and your axe is dull. You're going to give up. You're going to be like, this just isn't for me. Why aren't I cutting any trees down? When your axe gets sharp and you have bad technique, you'll cut the tree down faster. But when you have a sharp axe and you have the technique, then the trees go down really quick. And then you can work smarter, not harder. You can just be like, bop, bop, bop. Tree goes down, bop, bop, bop. Not monitoring my energy level. Okay, I'm getting a little fatigued. I'm going to chill and read my book. And other people are slaving away because they haven't learned the technique, and maybe their axe is moderately sharp. So that's like in business, and that's like in training. It's like there's so much emphasis in our culture on what to do and so much less emphasis on how to be. And it's really the vibration. So learning to nurture our vibration, and that's why I'm such an advocate of meditation, because meditation means to become familiar with. It doesn't mean to get away from or get somewhere. Again, in our culture, I have clients that are like, I just don't think I'm doing it right. I'm just not getting there. And it's like, as soon as you try to get there, it's kind of like, what's his name? I think it's Cousins. He says, with life, or I'm paraphrasing, but he says, with life and with humans, slow is fast and fast is slow. So when we try to rush, we actually slow it down. It's like you're trying to get to know someone really fast. You're actually, versus if you're just very present and authentic, they trust you, because there's nothing. Why are you trying to get to know me so fast? So it's like similar with life and with humans, fast is slow and slow is fast. So when you have, let's say you're building a network marketing business, or even a health coaching business or a personal performance business like mine, or your body, we need the right strategy. But we need to learn how to nurture our energy. So in the morning when I meditate, I check in. I'll say, like, little Andrew, like, how are you feeling today? And he might be like, he might be like, fuck yeah, let's go. I'm ready to rock. I'm like, okay, cool. Or he might be like, I'm anxious. I'm worried about this. I'm still sad that my friend died or whatever happened. And I just meet it with, okay, like, I love you anyways. What else? He's like, when I'm just so tired of this, because being an entrepreneur is not easy. I went through it down here at quarantine, broken neck, all this kind of stuff. And some days I'd sit in that meditation, I'd be in tears. And it was just like, how do I meet whatever comes up with compassion? Whether it's anger, it's ugliness, a shadow. It's just like, okay, you're welcome here too. So I think that's a really big part of nurturing the vibration. Because if we're not accepting parts of ourselves, we're like, authenticity is the highest vibration. So like setting the goals and doing the steps is like the seeds. But also what nurtures or what waters the seeds of intention? It's vibration. Because if you have a negative vibration and you're messaging all these people, you're not going to get the same result. I've done that before. And then there's been sometimes I come out of ayahuasca and I've processed all the junk in my system out and I'm feeling just so present. And then that week is like a $10,000. I'm like, I didn't even do any. How does that work?
Yeah.
Vibration.
Man, you've shared so many nuggets. Yeah, you shared so many wonderful things there. So to just extend this a little bit further, can you share two or three ways? So you're talking about like nurturing our energy and our vibration and ourself. What would be two or three? You talked about meditation. You talked about, I love that, talking to little Andrew in the morning, right? Or little Kelly, like our inner child or our younger self. What are two or three other ways we can do that?
I'll give you guys just like a little, like a fundamental blueprint that I do with all my clients. So how we start our day is super important, right? So there's a lot of talk about morning routine. I've been doing morning routines probably over 10 years and I've tried all sorts, meditate for an hour, meditate for 10 minutes. And it doesn't have to be grandiose, but I think keeping the cell phone off, because the thing we need to get out of the patterns, it's like a ski hill. If everyone's always going in that same one and you're going, you're just inevitably going to go into it. So that's like, I must have literally groomed the run. Now it's neutral and then it's easier for us to make new choices. So meditation is like a form of the medicine. So it's like neutralizing. So we get to notice what's going on inside of us. So meditation is one. Another thing I do most, pretty much 99% of the mornings, is breath work. I also take a little bit of time to journal each morning. It doesn't have to be like, I'm not a big journaler, like how do I feel, but I have prompting. So I'll use Brandon Burchard's book or a 5-minute journal, just something to get some intention going. Like versus yeah. The wake up, many people wake up, the same neural pathways fire, the same habit goes, they check their phone, they get the same stimuli, they have the same breakfast. And it's like Kevin Trudeau says, if you want things in your life to change, you have to change things in your life. Can't keep doing the same things and thinking the same way, or else you live the same year after year. So that's why I hydrate. I do breath work. I do a quick meditation. I used to do longer ones. Now I do the long one at the evening. And that helps for me to engineer my state. Then when I'm sitting down with my paper, it's what are my top priorities like business-wise today? So I'm not just thinking about what is the stuff that needs to get done. I'm like the overarching, what do I want to create? So I don't get caught up in the day to day. I'm like, okay, the day to day needs to get done, but what do I want to create that's different and outside of my pattern?
I love that. And so how do we bring those practices into our life while operating from a mindset of high performance, right? Because this has always been, for lack of better words, like my struggle. Like I just came off of such a doing mentality, right? Hustle to achieve, yet it's what you were saying in like my own words. I was forcing it. I was chasing it. It was never enough, right? I could never do enough to get to where I want to go. And like when you said, when you hang back and chill and your frequency is different, all of a sudden you're creating more. You're like, wait a minute. How did that happen? So can you maybe just chat a little bit about the bridge of being high performance? And there is the aspects of sharpening our axe and practicing through repetition and doing to achieve it. Yet also being in this space of allowing and being, like, I struggle with the balance of that.
Okay. So just off the top of my head, like what came up is, again, we need to, it's like a lot of people are just, I think, focusing on the wrong thing. So it's not that they're like, not that they're wrong. It's just they're focusing on the wrong thing. It's like client comes in and they're really trying to transform their body, but all they're tracking is like how many calf raises they can do with 100 pounds versus you're only sleeping 4 hours a night and you're eating 3,000 calories when you should be eating 1,800. What is the actual important stuff we need to focus on? Are you getting good quality sleep and enough of it? How many calories and macros are you having? And what's your exercise capacity? Not the calf raises. So for instance, I have a buddy and he's just like building his business. He's sending like 50 messages a day. And he said in our men's group the other day, he's like, actually, all the business that has come through, none of it has come through sending those messages. So again, it just goes to show the power of intention, right? So, and the thing is like when we're, it's not that there's anything wrong with sending messages. Like I said earlier, like it's the mechanics have their place. And I'm not saying do nothing and just sit in meditation. That's an extreme example, but it's, like I said, it's the energy that we're bringing to it. So something that I'm really focusing on is presence. So presence is the goal, because I share sometimes I've had that life, $1 million house, BMW, money, girls, successful business, all of that. And I was riddled with anxiety. I didn't know, like, my father died around that time. I didn't know how to process it. So unless I can process it, I can't be free again. So I think what a lot of people are looking for actually is presence. Because they're like, why do you want to make $1 million? Oh, because I just want to feel like I have nothing to worry about. That sounds a lot like presence. And you don't need $1 million to get there. And I experienced that. I went from that house to going back to my mom's house because I was struggling with drugs and alcohol because I did not have processed my dad's death. So I went and saw the doctor, saw a psychologist, we made a deal. I went back to my mom's and I started meditating. And after I really got committed to my meditation practice and I was able to actually connect, there'd be days, Kelly, where I'd be like, Friday evening, which was usually like people at my place, I was excited to go home and light my candle and meditate because I actually started to connect. And I was like, wow, this feeling that I'm experiencing from meditation was the feeling I was looking for everywhere else, through women, through love, through money, through having enough that I can just relax. But it's like, it doesn't come because the mechanics in the brain are still running the same way. So it's another million or it's a different problem. So it's like, just don't play the game.
That's crazy. What's the feeling? Can you describe the feeling that you were looking for and found?
It's contentment. Something like contentment. It's just being. It's tricky because the other emotions, it's funny because this last couple of years, like I told you, I had some pretty major injuries. So I was getting to practice my presence and my acceptance through the challenging stuff. And then when stuff started getting really good again and going really up, then you know what I was doing. I was managing my ego from becoming inflated. So yeah. Be present when things are going real.
Yeah.
Be present. Because remember, this too shall pass, all of it.
Absolutely. And you were talking, no, you weren't talking. I was creeping on your Facebook. And I saw that you were posting, I think it was after your ayahuasca journey. Yeah, you had mentioned something in there around when there's adversity and hardship, or it seems like things aren't going in the direction that you want, this is usually the opportunity for your biggest growth to happen. So maybe share a little bit about that, because I know you've had a lot of examples of that in your life as well, where it can be really uncomfortable, yet on the other side is the biggest blessings.
Yeah, absolutely. If you're going through hell, just keep going. And there's always told about that the other day. I like that.
Oh, that should be a t-shirt.
Yeah, no, for sure. So this is the thing I get, the egoic mind thinks it needs to be a certain way. The egoic mind has its goals and its plans, and it's very ignorant in a way to think like we're going down a river and we can direct the boat, but we can't really go backwards in the river.
Yeah.
So it's like, I think understanding truly what we cannot control and what we can, and taking full responsibility over what we can control, but also being very clear on what we cannot and surrendering fully to that. Because it would be insane to resist it. And I noticed it when I went back to Canada, because I've been down here 4.5 years. I lived in the jungle. I lived with shamans. I was doing a lot of deep work, like meditation, sometimes twice a day, 3 times a day for years. So like being in a totally different energy and then going back to Canada just and seeing the mindset difference, like all this control and the entitlement and the judgment. And even when I'm driving and I do one little mistake and someone's just ready to punish me, I'm like, why?
What's that about?
Like, it's done. Like, okay, the guy cut you off. Is it worth taking the poison? Like, you're not killing him. You're just killing yourself. And that's a prime example, because we all get road rage to some degree sometimes. But that's a perfect example of that event has happened. The guy cut you off. You're all mad. And then you carry that for 5, 10, 15 minutes. And it's like, but the other one would be like, and I'm not perfect at it. It's always a learning process. I just notice it faster. And I release it quicker. So like even the other day, I reacted to something and I just laughed at myself. And that's another thing. It's so important to be able to laugh at yourself, because it's just like, oh, that's my shadow. That's my ego. That's my, and I'm just like, oh, there he is. And I'm just like, okay. And that helps me to release and then come back to presence.
Yeah, I love that. And maybe chat a little bit about, because as you're sharing this, what I'm hearing is that it's the importance of letting go.
Yes.
And first of all, a high performance. We're not saying don't have goals or dreams or big intentions for yourself and for other people. So set your intention, have your focus, have your direction to where you're going, and then let go of the expectation, right? And so chat about this, because you had also mentioned in a previous conversation the importance of high commitment and low expectation.
Yeah.
And so share about that in your own words.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks for bringing that up. That's one of my favorites. Because, okay, perfect example. Someone joins my program, they pay the money, and then they do half-ass work. Like, they don't follow what I'm giving them. And then they're like, Andrew, like, this doesn't really happen ever because everyone pretty much gets the result, but I'm making up a story. They might say, oh, I'm just not like da 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 da. That they have this expectation that they paid the money, they joined the program, so I should have the result. But why isn't it changing fast enough? It's like, how many days did you get all your meals in? Oh, half of them. How many workouts did you get in out of total? Of 60%. So it's like, even with this work, like this last little while, things started really picking up in a positive way and everything. And I was just, it's grace of God. But then my friend was like, no, but you've been putting in the work. But I've almost got so much to the point personally of just being so committed to the work that I'm not even having an expectation. It's like the work in myself. It's like me against me. Like, how much can I stay present? How much can I stay in that state, challenging myself? And this, here's an example, or not an example, but this is coming up for me. For instance, cutting out all the fluff. Like, you guys are serious about leveling up, whether it's with your fitness or your business or whatever. I'm a big believer and we only have so much capacity, right? So I start my day like this, I get myself primed. I do my 4 hours of deep work. I know what I'm working on in that 4 hours of deep work. And it's like the best strategy that I can find now. And as the road evolves, the strategy might change, but it's like, okay, I focus on that. Take my break, do my meditation, et cetera, have lunch. And then in the afternoon, I'm usually on the calls with clients. And then in the evening, I'm landing the plate. So I would do like some full rolling, some stretching, a meditation, listen to something, et cetera. And that's like being dialed in. And then on the weekend, I work normally a half day Saturday. Then I've got from Saturday afternoon to Sunday afternoon to do whatever I want. And Sunday afternoon, I'm dialing in for the next week. That's what that looks like in like an intermediate phase. And then when I've got a whole team and whatever, then I'm going to be on the next one. The first one was like work every day for 15 hours a day with a lot of micro breaks, year one. And that's like where I was at. Now that's what was required and that's what worked. But I think it's really important to know what are the KPIs? What are the main things that need to get done? So it's like my morning routine, water, breath, meditation, journal, some form of exercise, this much, that much sleep. And for a lot of my clients, I'll say, do all your house cleaning. Fill up your car, prep your food, everything on Sunday. So when you get into your car Monday, it's clean and there's gas. Your food is ready. Your clothes are ready. You've created space because as an entrepreneur, what we're going for is always outside of our box. And that takes a lot of energy. So if you're wasting energy on friends that are just bitching and complaining or not having your laundry done or being disorganized with your food and having to grab something on the fly, then you're bloated, then you have a podcast, and you're farting during the podcast and doesn't go so well, whatever. We're just trying to like iron out and mitigate as many of those negative variables as possible. So I call it getting dialed in to level up. It's really hard to get leveled up if you're not dialed in. But it's like, what are the fundamentals? Like the morning routine, the training and the nutrition, okay, the business, working on it. What are the next steps that need to get done? This, work on it every day till it's complete. What needs to happen with clients? So it's like, it becomes very simplified.
I love what you're sharing because I actually was going to ask you and you just answered it is what are some productivity hacks to level up in health and business? And you just literally answered that question so brilliantly. And I love what you're sharing too, Andrew. It's just so true. And it's like, keep it simple. Also look at where you are best with your energy. I have a friend, Jody. She was on this podcast. She has something called the Pink and Blue Energy Calendar. And it's all about making sure you have time for pink, which is the stillness where you actually recharge yourself so that when you're expending yourself in the productivity energy period, when you're the most productive, you have the energy to do that. And that's what you explained as well. I also want to share, I like what you talked about, because for looking at peak performance, that in business, in health, in life, if you have a high expectation and low commitment, you're going to constantly be battling yourself. Yes. And that's exhausting. Yeah. And that I like that you're like, no, that equation needs to shift. It's high commitment, low expectation. And as an entrepreneur, I also like what you shared. I don't know if you noticed this, yet you shared like you're creating more results in the last few weeks, yet you weren't focused on it. You were just working your craft, right? Like you were just present in your craft. And then the money started to flow.
You know what the big thing is there, Kelly, is that prior to that, situationally, there were some things going on. I had some stuff going on with my body, which was obviously feeding into my vibrational field. But the takeaway that I want to share is as soon as, like this last ayahuasca that I was in my meditation and I was playing with the idea always of, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? So I'm happy driving alone. Guy cuts me off. He shouldn't have done that. He's an idiot. I've just given up my happiness to be right about what is something that's already complete. It makes no sense. And I live in Colombia, so a lot of things go wrong. So I've learned so much from living here in regards to surrender and patience and X, Y, Z, because I was very, very not like that when I was younger, and I'm still working on it. I still get triggered. But do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Is it? So in my ayahuasca, this last one was pretty chaotic. A lot of heavy energy being purged and whatever. And I was just sitting there and I was in my center. And I noticed that as soon as my mind, call it going off to the right, as soon as my mind started going off to the right, like a little resistance or a little bit of judgment, oh, this guy is yelling or whatever. As soon as I started going there, I can literally feel the purge. For those of you that don't know what the purge is, it's when you throw up in ayahuasca and you're literally releasing toxins or bad energy or trauma. As soon as my mind started going to the negative, the purge started brewing. And then it reminded me of what Joe Dispenza says, like your thoughts can make you sick and your thoughts can make you well. And then that tied into, do you want to be right or do you want to be happy? Which ties into what Wayne Dyer says, there's no justifiable resentments. You're the only one who suffers from judging people. You're the only one who suffers from resisting people. So this is something I play with regularly. Like my example, when I first moved into my building, the main security guard was really rude to me. And I noticed my reaction and I let it go faster. And I sought to understand him versus just being like, oh, he's just a dick or whatever. So that day I bought myself dinner and I ordered dinner for him. And this was the person who was rude to me. And this was the person who I was in resistance to. But because of what I'm practicing, that's how we get out of that. Because I can be righteous. I can be right. Oh, he's just a dick. I have to live here though. Like, do I want to be right and every day be right? No, I want to be happy. So I had dinner with him. And I got to know him. Now he's my favorite security guard.
Oh my God. That's a wonderful message, Andrew. And what I love is you're not just understanding the practices, you're implementing them, right? So it's one thing to know, it's another to actually take action on it. So awesome job. I love that story. Okay. I have a question before we start to wrap up and I ask you a few questions. So I know you've had your ups and downs and you've had your breakdowns and your breakthroughs. Everybody does in life and in business, right? We're no different. How do you handle setbacks and failures? And what advice would you give someone such that they can bounce back stronger?
Okay. So here's an example I give quite frequently. So if I said, Kelly, would you drive to you live in Alberta. Kelly, will you drive to Montreal tomorrow for me, please?
I would if it was really important or life or death for you.
So you would, but there would be some resistance.
Yeah.
It's really important, right? So you get to Saskatchewan and then your tire blows. What's your energy? What's your reaction? Like, just be honest. Like, you're doing me a huge favor. You're going.
I'd be annoyed. Why did I choose to do this for Andrew? What a pain in the ass.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. Blah, blah, blah. All of that stuff, right? So now let's erase that and let's go. Right. Hey, will you drive to Montreal to pick up $5 million and I'll give you half of it for me?
Oh, yeah, definitely. It's a different energy. And no matter what happened, I'd be like, doesn't matter. I'm getting there.
Right? Okay. So your tire blows. What's your energy like? Like, you're going to have $2.5 million in 4 days.
Yeah. I'm like, what's the next solution? Where's the bus? How do I get this fixed quickly? Like,
whenever. Yeah.
I'll walk if I have to.
So that answers fundamentally, I think that's a big part of what answers your question. Because if we don't have clarity in what we're working on in our life, and ideally alignment with our values, whether it is for your child, whether it is for your business, whether it's for your personal purpose. But for instance, my first year online, I was so aligned. Like, I'm like, I'm building this business. There was a girl I loved in LA. I wanted to spend more time with her. We were dating. I was just like, I'm going to have this freedom. I was so aligned. And then I snapped my tricep tendon off just as I was finishing filming all the exercises for my app and about to launch. My client's like, let's go snowmobiling. I'm like, sure. Boom, I crank the sled, my tendon snaps off and I'm in Montana. So I'm like, but luckily, Grace, I was so clear on what I was creating. I didn't give a fuck. Like, I was like, you're going to have to do better than that to slow me down. I put the tensor bandage on and I was back in the gym. People were like, what happened to your arm? I'm like, I ruptured my tendon. They're like, oh, okay. Then I showed up with the cast and everyone's like, what happened to you? I'm like, I told you, but I was on purpose. So I didn't care. So even with my big cast, I was still hitting record months. I was just working like this. I'd have to shower with my arm outside the shower, getting dressed. And I was starting to build my online business in like month three, 10K, month five, 20K. And that was through a tricep rupture adversity. But because I was so clear, it didn't matter. When we're not clear on what we really want and we're not taking action to get there, a molehill turns into a mountain.
Yeah, I agree with you. I agree with you. And good analogies too. Okay, so before I ask you the last few questions, I could talk to you always. Where can people find you? Tell us a little bit about you. Where can people find you as a trainer, as a coach, online? How do we get a hold of Andrew?
Yeah, Facebook, Andrew Topic, pretty simple. And on Instagram, it's a little bit more common. It's a little longer, but if you type in The Modern Warrior, the new program that I've launched is called The Modern Warrior, because we are in globally, there is some sort of war going on spiritually, mindset, etc. I'm empowering myself and others to step into their leadership with that warrior mentality of, I'm going to take responsibility for myself. I'm not going to feed into all this garbage that's going on, all the drama, all the whatever. It's like, what can I do? So that's like the modern warrior. There's no swords, but every day as an entrepreneur, we're going to war, war against our limiting beliefs, everything. So that's why I created that program. So it resonates with me. Very warrior spirit to me. It's like, yeah, you get knocked down. And to answer a bit about your question, it's like, you just keep moving forward to whatever capacity you can. I had a broken neck 2 years ago, couldn't walk for more than 15 minutes. And I was like, okay, what can I do? I can post. What are my minimums? I can post and I can message 10 people. When I'm feeling great, what's my maximum? So knowing the maximum, knowing the minimums, but never losing the momentum. Just like going to the gym. Maybe it's only a 10-minute workout, but you showed up.
Yeah. So everybody who's listening, I know you're going to love Andrew's message. I'm loving everything he's sharing. So I'll put his information in the show notes. So Andrew, they can find you. So I'll have you send me your links and everything like that. And they can get a hold of you there too. I have been a personal client of Andrew's and gotten results. I highly recommend Andrew. I have tons of friends who have been trained and supported by Andrew. Everybody gets results. Like, I can say this. Don't come back to me yet. Results guaranteed. if you have high commitment, that's right? Brilliant. When you have high commitment, results guaranteed.
Don't do the word.
So, Andrew, last few questions. What would you say for you now is your version of success?
Presence. Peace. Yeah, of course, basic needs need to be met. Like, we need to eat. I'm not saying, because sometimes people can go on a spiritual side of things so that they don't actually have to. Well, I'm just playing with my crystals. It's like, you're going to develop more spiritually by going through the entrepreneurial path. Like a guy in our men's group, he does a lot of ayahuasca, all this stuff, and he's got a big inheritance. So he hasn't had that money stress. He had to go through that. So he's like seeing fortune tellers and he's doing medicine and everything. I'm like, dude, you know what the medicine is? It's life. It's like playing full out. Like, the business will prune you, the love, the failed loves, the really loving people fully and losing them. It's like, that is the medicine of the life. So having the courage and the willingness to play fully in life. And I go to the medicine too, but it's like, that I think is what it is. Having the courage to actually go after what you want.
Oh my gosh, I love it. And this may segue into my next question, because my podcast is called Entrepreneurial Elevation, Unleashing Greatness Within.
Yeah.
And so what are a tip or two that you have for people to do that, to unleash their greatness?
Work harder on yourself than you do on anything else. Meditate. Like, if I had to leave one message behind and I was leaving the planet, it would be, even like when I was in Calgary, actually, last time I got asked to speak at this men's event, and I didn't know what I was going to speak about. There's all these guys that talk about what it means to be a man and tools and techniques and everything. And mine was just like, I want everyone to close their eyes. And it got really quiet. And I said, notice that silence. And it was just like, you could hear a pin drop. Because for a lot of people, they haven't even tuned into that before. It's a totally different realm. So it's like, we're seeking all the things here. But it's like that quietness and that presence and that silence. That's really where the fulfillment and the joy and the contentment is and the connection. You can be in a relationship, but you're all busy. You're not even really in the relationship. You're not even really with your kids. When you're at work, you're not even really at work. So I think that's it, is like, slow down and let your central nervous system calm. Read some books that are going to support that mental freedom. Because it's like I said, I had financial freedom. I had a great life on paper, but I was not free here. And I was suffering due to my ego. I was suffering due to my inability to process my emotions. And we all have trauma, but it's not in our culture to teach people how to process emotions. So the meditative process gives us that opportunity. It's not about becoming anyone else. It's about undoing who you are not. And like, when I meditate, my one friend was like, well, I'm just not getting there anymore. I'm like, stop trying to get there because you're resisting the present moment by trying to get there. But as soon as you fully surrender and accept the present moment, you are there. And it's not by trying. It's like getting sitting through the trauma. I have some clients who are like, Andrew, I finally did that meditation you told me to do. And I just cried. And I'm like, awesome, because that's what needed to come out. Because it's like we've all eaten some poison food or some garbage. And it's like making us feel sick. And if we slow down enough, we're like, oh, fuck, I think I'm going to puke and I don't want to puke. So we get up and we stay busy. And then people are like, how are you doing? And they're like, oh, yeah, good. How are you? But you're not good. So it's like, get subtle enough to allow that throw up. And then after you get that garbage up, you're like, oh, that's what we're looking for. Yeah. I think in my experience. So
yeah,
come from that place vibrationally. And even in the meditation process, you realize like you sit through enough of it and you start to find that peace in your, and then you notice where the mind starts going over there. It's just like in life when we start, oh, I need to do this. Or like you said earlier, I was just going and nothing was happening. It's literally that vibration is pushing what you want further away from, because it's coming from lack, coming from fear, it's coming from scarcity, and it's the vibration that attracts. So it is allowing, but there's also work that we need to do on ourselves, because there's, for a lot of people, a lot of junk in the mind. So like the easiest thing, read The Untethered Soul, read The Power of Now, read them over and over, meditate every day and get committed to it. And if you sit for 30 minutes a day for 30 days, you will have 70% less problems than you did 30 days prior. And for some people, 30 days, 30 minutes too much. Even if it's just shorter ones aren't so great because there's so much junk to sit through. They might just, oh, this is just so uncomfortable. But we have to sit through a lot of that junk before it starts to settle. We find a little bit of peace. So I would say meditate every day, exercise to some capacity every day. It doesn't have to be crazy. But like, this is all stuff to sharpen your axe. Like when you meditate, you release the resistance. You process the emotions that are emitting a negative resistance. When you exercise, you're turning on the endorphins. You're turning the vibration up now. When you're fueling your body with good food, it's not about being like an anal fitness person. It's like, what am I putting in? What am I fueling to nurture the vibration? Then who am I associating with? What conversations am I having? Am I clear and excited about my goals? Right? And then am I taking action? Am I feeling that momentum? That's what it's about, I think.
No, I love it. I love it. And just, Andrew, I'm so grateful to have you here as you're sharing, because I know you. I'm just sitting here thinking, I'm hearing it as you're speaking, yet I want the listeners to know another thing that can support you is to do something that I like to call, which is measuring your success backwards, right? Like I'm seeing the person you are today. I'm looking at you and you have completely transformed, Andrew. I'm so proud of you as a friend. And I hope that you take time to look back from where you've come and look at all the wins you've accomplished in your life. And I think that's a really powerful way for us to be present with where we're at while we're working towards the things that we want to create in our life. Right. And so just thank you for all your wisdom and your message today and just your vulnerability and sharing. I love that. And that's how you can make the biggest impact. And so if there was one more thing you wanted to share, is there any leftovers? One more thing?
To be yourself.
I love it.
No, seriously, authenticity is the highest vibration. And we were talking about this at Mentor the other day. I've drank ayahuasca for over 10 years. And for some people, they're trying to use that or work hard to become. And it's just figure out who you really are and fully accept that. I still have, like, I've done all this work, PSI, medicine, all this stuff. I'm still the same person. I still react. I still get frustrated. I still get anxious. I still, like Ram Dass says, he did it for 30 years. And he's like, I still have all my neuroses. The only difference is they're not driving the car. They're in the back seat. So it's okay to have your days. It's okay to, I think just that self-acceptance and being authentic is super important. Because if we're not, it's why not? I don't accept this person. So I'm going to put off this mask when I go outside. And that's how people are really depressed. Instead of it's okay. Like it's all okay. And that's the thing with sitting in the meditation. It's like, whatever is there is okay.
Yeah. And if we love that
in the world, being authentic, That's why when I share, it's not even, it's like, of course, that's the best thing I could give to the listeners. I don't care if I look bad or if someone's going to judge me or something, like, it makes no difference. I mean, that's what is.
Yeah. Be you, everybody. And Andrew, just thanks for being here. Appreciate you. Love you. And just excited to have you as a friend in my life. I learn from you every day. Thank you.
Thanks for having me on. I appreciate it.
Wow. I really love that episode with my buddy Andrew. Just so phenomenal to see his transformation and how he's taken himself on. And now he's supporting other people in their own transformation, both physically, mentally, also spiritually. And I love Andrew's message where if you really want to see transformation in your life and in your results, even if we're talking about the physical aspect, it really isn't just about temporary change and doing the right things for a moment in time. It's really got to be about having an identity shift in how we see ourselves and how we choose to show up and how we're being, such that we can have long-lasting impacts in all areas of our life. And so just love Andrew's message today and everything that he shared. And he sure has a very courageous story. And so if you're inspired by Andrew, I encourage you to reach out to him. He's a phenomenal trainer. He obviously wants to support you in all areas of your life. And if you've ever thought of plant medicine or wanting to go and have an ayahuasca experience, reach out to Andrew as well. He runs ayahuasca retreats in Colombia. If you're looking for that experience, definitely reach out to him. And if you enjoyed today's episode, as always, please like, subscribe, leave a comment. Would love to hear from you. And just thanks again for listening. With love, greatness, and success, it's your host, Kelly Beveridge.